This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Ken Kale. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Anytime during the show, you can give us a call, 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. So welcome back to the second hour. And let me see here. So we are our next segment is Donna in Delaware. And she's quite interesting. Do you know that little story?
I don't know the story behind the story, but I have heard Donna on your show. Yeah.
She's quite exciting. Like, I met her in Grand.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. I met her and her husband in Grand Cayman.
Oh, really?
At Christmas time.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, we hit it off together, and she's just really fun. So let's hear from Donna.
You're listening to Donna's Delights.
Hi, this is Donna Earl Johnson, and I believe life is for living and food is for giving. On Donna's Delights, we take it from the fork to the cork. I'll be sharing my recipes, stories, and philosophies. So I hope you bring your appetite, because we're about to do this. King! The recipe for the week.
The recipe of the week. When my daughter was little, she had this little kitchen set, and I would videotape her cooking. And it went her little make-believe kitchen. So I would ask her, "Baby, what you cooking?" And she would say, "I'm making bread, I said." So I call this recipe bread, I said. I got this recipe from my cousin Boo. Her dad, Big Donnie, would always keep a garden, and he would bring us these zucchinis he grew in his garden. Now, the only thing, when it came down to eating zucchini, I wanted to eat it in a bread. So I asked her, "How did I make it?" Because back then, you ate what you had. Whatever you could afford, you didn't waste no food. So I learned real early in life to use what I got to get what I want. And that was something sweet like this bread. As a 14-year-old girl, I would use this recipe. Now, this is what you'll need. You'll need 3 cups of all-purpose flour. You'll need 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 4 teaspoons of cinnamon. Back then, I wouldn't use nutmeg because we didn't have nutmeg in the house. But now, I'll use 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1 cup of vegetable oil, 2 1/2 cups of sugar, 4 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 3 cups of zucchini grated, 1 cup of walnuts. We didn't have walnuts either, y'all. Yes, we was poor. We could only afford the P and the O. We couldn't even afford the O and the R. We was poor. And when I make it to this day, my girlfriend was like, "Don't put no walnuts in mine. Make it just like you made it when we was teenagers, without the nuts." But now I put a little cup of walnuts in it. And I also got a little savvy. I would use some chocolate chips, and I would place 1/2 cup of chocolate chips into my zucchini bread. Yeah, boy. Preheat your oven to 325. Grease and flour that loaf pan. I'll use 8x4 tin foil loaf pans now. You will sift your dry ingredients, your flour, your salt, your baking soda, and your baking powder, and your cinnamon into one bowl. Take your wet ingredients and you will place them in another bowl. That is your eggs, your oil, your vanilla, and your sugar together. Once you have that, you're gonna mix it all well. And once you mix that up, you're gonna place your dry ingredients into your wet ingredients. And what you're gonna do after that, you're going to fold your zucchini in. Now, back then, I didn't know nothing about folding. But now that I'm a little older and a little more sophisticated in the kitchen, I fold my zucchini in. King, if you're gonna put your nuts in after this, and whatever little tidbits you're gonna put in, like chocolate chips. You're gonna place that into your 2 loaf pans, and you're going to bake for 60 minutes until you take a toothpick and it comes out clean. We didn't have toothpicks either, so what I used was a broom straw. Take the broom straw and you'll stick it in the middle and make sure that that zucchini bread was good and done. Once that zucchini bread is done, you're going to take it out, and for 20 minutes you're going to let it cool, and then you're going to start eating, because once you smell it, it's going to make you hungry. Once I slice my zucchini bread up, I put me some butter on it, and I get me a cold glass of milk, and I goes in, and that's zucchini bread.
Food for healing.
Food for healing. In the wintertime, or if I'm just coming back from vacationing, I need to exfoliate my skin. And I found the best way is to use the salt of the earth. Just like TLC, they said they didn't want no scrub, but this girl here does want a scrub. This sea salt scrub that I came up with, I'll use it all day, all night. It gives you that sexy glow. So what you'll need is 1/4 cup of pink Himalayan sea salt, extra fine just like I am. You'll need 1/4 cup of honey, your sweet sticky thing. You'll need 1/4 cup of coconut oil. And you'll need 1/2 of a lemon, which you'll squeeze the juice right on over top of this mixture. You're going to mix this mixture up really, really well. Then you're going to go get in the shower. You're going to wet yourself really, really wet. And then you're going to take that salt and you're going to scrub, scrub, scrub. You're going to scrub all over. Ladies, make sure you get those feet, because no man wants to eat no crust. That's not cute or sexy. That's not hot when you have crusty feet. The only thing a lady should have that is crusty is pizza. Now, honey, if you got a honey at home like I do, you're going to call him into that bathroom and you're going to ask him to scrub your back. Once you get everything all scrubbed up, you're going to rinse well, and you've been scrubbed. King.
You're listening to
Donna's Delights.
I can make that at home. I can make that at home. I can make this at home. I was buying these mini pecan pies, and every time I would go in, I would see them, and they was like 99 cents a piece. So I was going in hard with these pies. I was buying them for about a month until I read the calorie count. It was like 400 calories and some change. I was like, this isn't good. So I got to thinking, I could make a whole pecan pie at home, and I could finish it in one bite. So I went to the library. If you know anything about the library was there before Google, and I hope that it continues to stay. So in my library, that's where I find all my good cookbooks. The best cookbooks sometimes have the little things, the cheapest things. The best things in life are free. And I've seen a cookbook that had George Washington Carver on it. I was like, if he can do all this stuff with a nut, he must know how to make some good pecan pie. So I use his recipe. And here's his recipe. It was 3 eggs, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1 pinch of allspice, 3/4 cups of sugar, 1 cup of cornstarch, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 1/4 cup of melted butter, 1.5 cups of pecans, 1 pie shell. Now with the pie shell, pre-bake that pie shell at 350. And once you have that pie shell baked for about 15 minutes, you're going to take it out. Then mix your sugar, your spices, and your eggs together, and you're going to pour the rest of your ingredients in a bowl as well, except for the pecans. What you're going to do with the pecans, you're going to layer them at the bottom of your pie shell. Once you have those pecans layered at the bottom of your pie shell, you're going to pour that sugar mixture all over your pecans, and you're going to put that in the oven. And once that's placed in the oven, you're going to bake it for 45 minutes until a knife comes clean in the center, and then you're going to enjoy pecan pie. I enjoy pecan pie without the guilt. Thanks, Mr. Carver. Well, that's all the time I have for now, so join me next week on Donna's Delights. And remember, life is for living and food is for giving.
Welcome back. And that was Donna.
She is out there.
She is. She is. She's quite interesting.
Indeed.
Quite interesting. So, Ken, you know, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You're traveling, Carol.
Yes.
You travel a lot, you know, with the Monarchs. And like when you try, is there like a certain, like when you get to a different city, is there like a certain type of food that you scout out? I mean, is there a certain, because you do, when you travel, so you eat out.
Oh, yeah. I was just recently in St. John's, Newfoundland, Labrador. And certainly there's a lot of fish in that area. And I usually lean toward the fish when I'm there. I try to, you know, sample the what's native to that that particular area, and certainly they're big on fish. I'll tell you this: everything in St. John's in particular, but Canada in general, is pretty expensive. Oh. I mean, we're talking you know, fish and chips for like you know, $20 and more sometimes.
Oh, wow.
For fish and chips. Yeah. But I guess there are a lot of reasons for that. And then you add the tax. The taxes are just overwhelming.
Yes.
In Canada as well. We think we have a tough year. Well, nothing compared to Canada. So, but nonetheless, no, I do like to try some of the recipes that you know, they enjoy up there, and some of the food they have. I tell you what, they honestly, in any place I go up there, they have great French fries. They do French fries great, and it's the only time I ever use vinegar on the French fries.
Do you use really?
Yeah.
Malt vinegar.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
I like the vinegar on. I don't. Yeah. I'm not a cheesy fries kind of guy. I don't like that. I don't like poutine. Poutine, however you want to pronounce it.
Poutine.
Yeah, poutine. I'm not big on that. I'm really not. But I do only when I go to Canada. When in St. John's, do as the natives do, and most of them do put vinegar on the French fries.
Now, are the French fries, are they homemade French fries?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the hand-cut variety. And
they're
very...
Because those are pretty rare.
You
can't
really
find those.
And you can almost count on every place you go in St. John's anyway, and that's the kind of French fries they have. And they are delicious, and they're the kind that are conducive, really, to putting a little vinegar. I don't load it with vinegar, but just a you know, little dab here and there, and it just enhances it a little bit, I think.
So no ketchup, just the vinegar?
No ketchup. I do dip French fries in ketchup many times. And you know what else I like, too, is tartar sauce.
I am not a tartar person either.
Really? You're not a tartar?
I am not.
No?
I don't like tartar sauce.
I like tartar sauce on my French fries.
You're kidding.
No. Is that strange?
No.
Yes.
It is?
I don't know.
I hear some people say they put mayonnaise on their French fries.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty much... You know.
Well, I've had French fries with curry ketchup.
Curry
ketchup.
Curry ketchup. It's very
good. Is that Indian ketchup?
Well, I didn't. I've never been to India.
Yeah.
And maybe the Indians own Indian family owned the restaurant I ate them at. I don't know, but I think in Europe there's a lot of curry.
So how does that differ from the regular Heinz ketchup or whatever?
This has a bit of kick to it, a little less sweet.
Well, do you know what they're coming out with? What Heinz is coming out with? Sriracha ketchup.
Sriracha.
Really?
You know sriracha.
I'm not familiar. I'm really not.
It's a hot sauce.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a hot sauce.
All right. Okay.
And,
well, that's good. Yeah, because, I mean, all these hot sauces are making such an impact now.
They
really
are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had on the show Manofuel, Mario Fiel, who is the owner of and he makes Manofuel. It's hot sauce. It's all organic hot sauces.
Okay.
He has three different kinds. And we are testing them right now at the Red Arrow Diner in Manchester.
Really? Okay.
So if you like hot sauces, check it out. Yes.
I would probably like it on scrambled eggs.
I love my hot sauce on scrambled eggs. I use hot sauce on just about everything.
Yeah? Do you really?
Yeah.
She's firing.
French fries?
Not on French fries.
No. Okay.
Nope, not on French fries.
Nope.
But just about, I mean, I cook with it a lot. Even when I make my soups, I add hot sauce
really?
To it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Andrew said that he has French fries with gravy. He likes French fries with gravy.
Yeah, that gravy style, gravy and cheese, it just never appealed to me, really. I mean, and a lot of people love it, and that's fine. I would prefer my French fries with tartar sauce or ketchup.
Okay. Tartar sauce with horseradish?
Or in Canada,
vinegar.
Vinegar, yes.
There you go.
But the food up there is not, I wouldn't say, I probably have not been to all the right places. I like a place in downtown St. John's called Nautical Nellie's, where the last time I was there, not this most recent time, but the time before that, I think I had the best tenderloin I ever had. And, you know, it had with onions and peppers and that sort of thing, and it was fabulous. Unfortunately, they did not have it on the menu this time around at that place. But the last time I was there, it was so nicely prepared. It was very, very nice.
And that place was called Nautical
Nellies. Nautical Nellies in downtown.
Sounds a bit risque.
Downtown St. John's in Newfoundland. No, nothing risque. There's a lot of risque in St. John's, but Nautical Nellies is not a risque place. If you want that, there's quite a good deal of it there.
Interesting. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it may be because, you know, the Monarchs are switching leagues after this season, and St. John's will not be on our travel schedule after this season. So I did take a little guided tour while I was up there this last time, because we actually had a day off. Normally we don't, but because we played three games, we had a day off in between the first one and the next two. So I took a drive out to the easternmost point of North America.
Wow.
Yeah. And right there on the Atlantic Ocean, right out in the middle of the Atlantic in St. John's. So, and it was a very windy day, windier even than today is here, which is hard to believe. But it was. It's right on the water. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
It does, and I can't think of it.
Okay.
But it's at some point. I can't. Yeah, okay. But saw some of the fishing villages there. Kitty Vitty was one of them. Not like Kitty Cat, but it's Kitty, KUIDI, Kitty Vitty.
Oh.
And there's a Kitty Vitty Brewing Company there in this fishing village of St. John's, Newfoundland, and they want you to say the natives. Sometimes we run it together. Newfoundland, we say sometimes, but Newfoundland, they like it.
Newfoundland.
My grandmother Labrador. Was a Newfoundlander.
Yeah.
And she lived to be 97 because I firmly believe she lived that long because she first 10 years of her life, she ate boiled fish.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, there's plenty of it there.
Yeah, boiled fish and potatoes.
Boiled or broiled?
Boiled with water.
Boiled.
Ooh. Yeah, she could do anything except cook. She could sew with her eyes shut, but she could not cook. Yeah, boiled
fish.
I
think that's a common trait up there.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think the best thing I had up there this last time around, other than the French fries, was a lasagna that was made actually at the arena where the St. John's Ice Caps play.
Okay.
And that was our pregame meal for the press, was lasagna. And it was wonderful.
Any special ingredient?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it was kind of like, if I could describe it in any way, it would be like the cross between lasagna and American chop suey.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way
to me, one is noodles and one is macaroni.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm
this, had, this had kind of a cross. It was like a cross between lasagna and American chop suey, really. Which made me actually crave for some of that Red Arrow chop suey. And as a matter of fact, if they had run out of corned beef and cabbage last night at the Red Arrow in Londonderry, that was my secondary choice, was going to be American chop suey. Yeah, because I love it there.
People love that. They really do.
And the garlic bread, and that's great.
So what's your secret ingredient besides love, as they say, in your American chop suey?
It's made fresh. We make it every day at the diner. Mm-hmm. And there's not really any secret ingredients in it, I would have to say. It was one of the items that we showcased on Guy Fieri's show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And Guy didn't even know what American chop suey was.
Really?
Wow. So it must be like a New England thing. Mm-hmm. He was like, what is American chop suey? I'm like, you don't know what that is?
Oh, really?
He didn't know what a whoopie pie was either.
Wow.
Which I thought was
I walked right by the whoopie pies last night at the Red Arrow. It was very tempting.
Doesn't that dessert case look
beautiful? Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is.
It is truly unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely is.
I've got to get down there
now.
I'm
very hungry. You have to. It's so easy to get to, you know.
Yeah, okay.
10 minutes from here. That's
easy
it.
Easy on, easy off. It is. I live in Bedford, and it literally takes 10 minutes, right near the highway.
Oh, I mean, it's such a great location. Yeah. Always open, so, there's no excuse not to show up, Ella.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to take a short break, and Food for Thought will be right back. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. And joining me now is Dad. Hi, Dad.
That was quick. Yes. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have your headphones on?
No.
Oh.
I just snapped them on.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, that was fun with Ken.
Very nice, yeah.
Thank Ken Kale for coming on and helping me today with the show. And, of course, Ella from Miles Smith Farm. And so, Dad, what have you been doing? Like, you must have been doing some research and stuff on
what?
Recipes and...
Yes, I did. Well, I try to as much as I can. I'm kind of busy, you know. To take away from recipes, I'm into my taxes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I did that this morning. So
okay.
That was good. But, yeah, no, I haven't been. I'm sticking to the old and trying to do the best I can with the restaurants from the telephone and that nice little camera and the phone. Gives you a good idea to look,
yes.
look around. I never use it like that. Having a problem. Keep the battery up.
Yeah, you said that. You said that the battery is...
Just exit 5 seems to drain it, but that's not a big problem.
Did you talk to Steve about that?
No, I didn't. I want to call him anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on my iPad. So, no, other than that... No, today I think along we go, we could give the good old-fashioned pork pie.
Pork pie,
making
okay.
three pies, you know, that's what I would say.
So you're going to give the amount, you mean make the amount for three
for
pies?
For three pies.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
They can divide it if they want.
There you go.
You know?
All right. Now, do you use all pork or pork and beef?
No, I use pork and beef, 80-20 on the beef and 100% pork. Well, it's 100. I think it's 90, really. But today we have no problem. Do you notice that when you go? So I was just talking to my sister Janine. Years ago, the original from Meme, as we'd say, grandma.
Mm-hmm. Meme.
She always used to put saltines in it. But I remember distinctly you did that if you didn't think the salt level was where you wanted. And years ago, the pork, I always remember my mother saying, make sure it's lean. Make sure it's lean. You didn't get lean pork like you do today.
Right.
So along the way, I have dropped the saltines, you know, because I don't need the salt, and the pork is perfect. Used to pick up the oil a little bit, you know, the grease, and make it disappear.
Like, I mean, like per pie, about how many saltines are you talking?
Oh, no, you just 2-3.
Oh, okay. You know, all right, because you do have to be careful because
absorbs.
The salt level, I would think, would go
up. We used to try it. And to this day, I'll make it and do this. Get the saltines out. Let's put some spread on it. Fantastic little sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
And one saltine, put it the thickness that you want. And it goes well.
Yeah, for sure.
But let me get to my right area. Okay. Yeah, no. So the way I do it is 1.5 pounds of hamburger. Okay. And 1.5 pounds of ground pork.
Okay, so half and half.
Half and half.
Okay, all right.
And then we use to make sure it's exact. It can vary all the time. It's your own little way. Yeah, there it is. Better. Okay, 1.5 onion, fine chopped.
Finely chopped.
Fine chopped. 1 clove of garlic. I always used it. Same thing. The finer, the better.
Okay.
The idea is not to see anything.
Right.
You know, people would go, oh, what's that? What's that?
Right, because, yeah, so onions minced, really.
That's right, minced and well.
Okay.
And then 2 teaspoons of salt.
Okay.
To that amount, 3 pounds, because you're going to add potatoes
right.
to it.
Right, right.
And 1 tablespoon of granulated onion. Remember, granulated onion? You ain't going to hurt it. It's just going to give it some darn flavor.
Right.
And you saute all that... So EVO and a little bit of butter, because I like both so it won't burn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Optional. Some people use the Bell's seasoning. I personally don't like it. But
Bell's seasoning?
Yep.
Oh, I like Bell's seasoning. The
general population, again, I can't go by personal. I never use it. I use that clove and a little bit of cinnamon. Very little cinnamon.
See, I don't like cinnamon.
Very little. You can't. It's very can become very very overpowering.
Right.
Okay. Then 5 large potatoes peeled and cut. Pot boiling water with a little salt in it. Mash real well. If
right.
you don't mash it well, they're going to see a lump.
Right.
And if they don't see a lump, they really don't know what's holding all that together.
Exactly.
That's the secret to great pork pie. Mix the meat and the potatoes together. after, you know, they've all been sauteed and cooked with
right,
the seasonings.
With all the seasonings.
Yeah. And fill a pie shell. I use a pie shell. And I put a tablespoon of butter on top. Then I cover it with the pie dough.
Okay.
Okay. That really comes out. Use an egg wash on the crust. I preheat my oven for 350 and 45 minutes, and you do nothing but enjoy.
Yum. That sounds really good.
And you know that? I can smell it now.
No kidding, right? And you know that is really, it's actually something pretty simple to make too.
It is.
And it's a nice dinner. You know?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. When you said you minced the onions, mm-hmm. why, like, and then you talked about the granulated onion.
Yep.
Why would you use both?
It has a different flavor. I always add some granulated onion.
You know, Daryl likes that too. He cooks a lot.
I am telling you, I've tested it. You can almost put 2 tablespoons. It will not overpower it.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Remember years ago at Belmont Hall, years ago, when we used to use Flavor Glow?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
That was my secret.
I love
Kathy still does.
Yep.
And I always said, whatever's in that Flavor Glow seasoning, you can never put too much of it.
Yeah. It's true.
It's not salt driven.
Okay.
Just enhances flavor.
Just enhances it.
And I see it every once in a while, and I go, oh, that Flavor Glow. That makes the best fish chowder, corn chowder.
It does. I was just going to say, that was like almost like it made it the color,
exactly.
too. Kind of gave it a nice color.
That's how I feel. And I looked at that Flavor Glow. They do give some ingredients sparsely, and mm-hmm. it was granulated onion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the whole key.
Right.
It's great, all I can say. Yeah, Flavor Glow is a great product. You can't get it everywhere, either.
No.
And she buys.
No, you can't. You can't buy that in the grocery store.
Can't buy it in a grocery store.
No,
comes by the case.
We make our own at the diner.
Yeah. No, you can. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You still have plenty of time to come on down, have some lunch, and eat at Midtown Cafe, and come and watch the show. And stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me right now is Dad. And I just want to take this time too to just thank our sponsors: Express Jewelry Center, 44 South Main Street in Concord; Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry. You can check them out on the web at integrityfit.com. Belmont Hall and Restaurant, top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. And I hear that they did quite a bit of corned beef yesterday, right, Dad? Belmont Hall?
I guess so. It's close to 500.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. Now, you know what surprised me about Belmont? To speak a little bit about Belmont.
Yeah.
They're never open on a Tuesday night.
It's true. It's true. And people, how do they know that?
You think that over.
Exactly.
She had 100... orders of just corned beef for lunch.
Wow.
And she did $3.90 at night.
Wow.
And I called her at 10 past 8, and she says, I'm taking home 6 orders. There's no more. We cooked 55 briskets.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
That, you know, when you do think of that,
it's
you
amazing.
Know, it is amazing, especially where, you know, what you just said, she's not usually open on Tuesdays.
Nope, and she's all I know. Do is union leader. I mean, it's a plug, but since I just do my regular, you know,
well,
a little bit
Pulse
here
too.
And there. And the Pulse, exactly.
Yep.
But she says, you know, I didn't do no massive advertising.
Right.
I just to show you, they remember it's good,
yep.
and they go for it.
Yeah, they definitely do.
That was amazing. I said, you did a damn good job.
Yeah. And also sponsor Celeste Oliva, 75 South Main Street in Concord. You can check them out on the web at CelesteOliva.com. And Fallon's Furniture, which is the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. You can check them out on the web as well, NewEnglandCoffee.com. And listeners, we also love to tell you, you know, if you ever go into any of these sponsors, to let them know that Food for Thought sent you. They really do love to hear that. So if you, go into any of those. And, Dad, now I hear you have some talk about Twinkies.
Yeah, just a little bit of news here and there all the time. Oops, that's what we do here. Okay, what we do here? They call it the golden sponge cake with a creamy filling.
Right.
Okay. And Twinkies, love them or hate them, are a major cultural touchstone of our society. That's pretty good. They were invented on April 6, 1930.
Really?
Okay. And it was named as James Alexander DeWar, a baker for the Schiller Park, Illinois-based Continental Baking Company invented Twinkies during an experiment putting the machines used to make the cream-filled strawberry shortcake to use while strawberries were out of season.
Hmm.
He put another filling in it. They were originally banana flavored.
Yeah, they were banana.
Okay, I remember that. The cream in Twinkies was originally banana flavored, but it was switched to vanilla cream due to the World War II rationing of bananas.
Right.
The flavor was a hit, so it stuck very well.
Yeah.
The name.
That was a trivia on one of our past shows.
And where do you think the name came from?
Twinkie. I have no idea.
The name came from a billboard on the highways. DeWar came up with the name for his product while in St. Louis when he saw a billboard for a company called Twinkie Toe Shoes.
You're kidding.
And when DeWar retired in 1972, his official title was Mr. Twinkie. That was
I never
neat.
Knew that.
No, that was a new one for me.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Oh, the shelf life is only 7 to 10 days. They don't actually live forever, contrary to popular belief.
Yeah, because they say that you can take a Twinkie and throw it in a, that it's still.
It's what they say. But I'm going to tell you, sometime, you know, we've all been through day-old bakeries and stuff, and they're like almost a couple of weeks sometimes. They aren't good, so they do keep.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think they'd keep like they said.
Well, I still have a, in my office here at the Beacon Building, I have a Dyna Finger from the Red Arrow Diner. That's our version of the Hostess Twinkie. And I have it all wrapped, and it's sitting up on top of my shelf with, you know, a couple of the awards and stuff. And it's signed by Bill Clinton.
Wow.
And it's still up there. It's not, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's
there.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wonder if it's just as moist.
No, it's hard.
Well, we don't.
Right, the ours.
We don't put.
There's no preservative.
It's just as natural as can be.
Right.
Bake them and sell them.
Exactly.
And they're selling very well at Exit 5 and all the other restaurants.
You know, I'm anxious to ask Michelle how many they're making in Londonderry.
I didn't ask her.
I know.
I just asked her the other day. Are you really putting out the bakery products? She says, George, unbelievable.
Right. Well, it's our pastry case.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
She says, I'm doing all I can to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
So always very glad to hear
Well,
that.
Manchester does 500 Dyna Fingers a week.
Yeah,
so they must be doing.
Oh, they have to be.
Yeah. They have to be, especially with our case right out front.
Yeah. We're all too busy right now to get our statistics, but when the stats come out up there, we're going to know.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be interesting. So Dad, what else is happening?
Well,
what have you been cooking at home? Have you been cooking?
No, I haven't been. I'm out of the action right now. That's why I don't. With the surgery here, I just don't have the ump. I hope I get it back pretty soon.
I think you will.
Yeah, I think so.
Just going to take it slow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going slow.
Yeah, just going to take it slow. But now, did you say you had a recipe for a pecan pie?
Yeah, I can come up with that.
Pecan pie is, do you like pecan pie?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge pecan pie lover.
Yeah, no, I do like it.
And for those listeners that are just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 The Pulse, and we're in studio with my dad, and we're talking some recipes.
Recipes, exactly. Here we go.
A pecan pie recipe.
All right.
And I know Donna in Delaware gave her version of a pecan pie recipe, so
yeah, I'm positive.
Everybody must take, you know, they're
totally
they're
different. This is what I mean about cooking. You know, there's people like, you know, Diane's grandson, 16 years old, Christopher. You know, if it's not made the same exact way, he don't like it. Now, of course, that's a 16-year-old. But you know what I mean? It's the variations where you just try it.
Right.
Try it. You may like it. Don't have to be a duplicate. You know?
Right.
And that's what I try to teach people. Like that, you told me before there was a recipe earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive it isn't like this one. But pecan pie, well, not too hard. Half a cup of sugar, 1.5 cup of, 1.5 tablespoon of cornstarch.
Tablespoon.
2 cups of dark caro syrup. 1/2 teaspoon of real vanilla. 1/8 teaspoon of salt.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 cup coarse cut chopped pecans. You know, you want them coarse because they'll come up and float. They won't be too fine on the top.
Right.
And 4 large eggs slightly beaten. Mm-hmm. Stir all these ingredients together till it's smooth, blend well, pour into a pie shell, bake at 425 degrees preheated for 10 minutes, reduce to 325 for about 40 more minutes.
Wow.
And you have a darn good pecan pie.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's too much variation on a pecan pie recipe.
I have seen some.
Really?
Right now at Belmont, they're different. She came up with a Canadian one, and it's pretty darn good. And it's nothing like this.
Really?
Yeah, nothing like this. I just stick to the old originals.
Right.
And this was my grandmother's, you know. But variation. Try things. But, that's the pecan pie. So, other than that, I see you're running around crazy there, busy. I really don't know, Carol, how you do it.
What do you mean?
I think you're busy. You're busy all the time.
Well, that's okay. We're busy. Keeping busy is good.
It is good. My God.
When I'm busy is when I get more things done.
Yes, you do.
You know, I feel more organized and I get more things done when I'm busy.
Yeah,
so I don't know, you know. But it's been fun traveling from diner to diner
and
checking what's happening and what's going
on. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Like last night.
It really is.
Last night, you know, recuperating, I said, went to Jay's.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm going, could go into Exit 5. You know, we're bragging now. But it's a pretty nice feeling.
It is.
It's a pretty nice feeling. Next time I can go back to the good old Lowell Street.
I know. I haven't been to Lowell
Street. Originator.
In quite a few days.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of, oh my goodness, they must be wondering where the heck we are.
I know, because they always see me in here.
I haven't
been around.
I haven't seen David in a long time.
David, you're right. I haven't seen him at all. So.
You know what, Dad? I have a question for you. And, you know, I saw this. I don't even remember where I saw it, but I wrote it down, and it's actually sitting on my desk right near my monitor. And I've always wanted to ask somebody this question. It has to be... you know, somebody like you or me
don't
who's
mean
a restaurant.
I can answer it, yeah.
What is your role as a restauranter? Like, what is your role? Like, what's our role as a restaurant person?
I think it's relentlessly checking the quality that you're putting out that the cooks won't vary. We're talking about variation, but people will come for our chicken tenders.
Consistent.
Very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it last night. I went in and tried. I had a give me one tender off that fryer later came out. It was excellent. And that's the biggest role.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want them to keep coming back. You know, you don't want them to come back. Well, they aren't like they used to be. Or like in our case, they aren't like the other restaurant or the other.
That's we not need good that. In our case.
Because
right.
I do use the prime Lowell Street. I'll always say, hey, how come the plate doesn't exactly look like Lowell Street? And it does happen. And Milford is right on point right now. And it wasn't. It took us a while.
It did take us
a
while.
And that's the role for an owner, you know, and to make sure that things like you answer that, what was my single biggest success that I can say in the restaurant business and breakfast? It's a chromium-plated griddle.
Yeah.
That made my breakfasts. And to this day, I swear to whatever, that things like that. But if you and I are not here to guarantee that, someone else could have designed this restaurant, and they would have said, I'm going to save $4,000, and I'm going to go with steel.
Right.
And they do, what do they do? You and I both know what we do.
Clean.
It's that brick. Remember the grill bricks?
Oh, my gosh.
And then after the grill brick, you have to wipe it down. And I used to say at the beginning when I started 35 years ago, oh, man, it'll go away in 5-6 eggs. You know, you'd wipe it, but the egg would still transfer black.
Yep, it's true.
Chromium-plated stainless steel griddle. I can actually take some butter or a little bit of whirl and break that egg and pull it away, and that egg will go right across the grill.
Yep.
Not across, but it'll move a couple inches.
Yep.
Things like that make an ownership.
Now, isn't that maybe like now, aren't they making those kinds of, do they still make those grills with the brick? Do they still
do?
They do.
Well, like MiraClean's a big name, right?
Right.
A regular griddle is $3,800, $3,500, $2,900, depending
on the name. Brick.
With the brick. It's steel. Just raw steel.
Steel. Okay.
And MiraClean, the same size, is almost $10,000.
Okay. So it's like almost more than double.
It costs.
But it's worth it.
I hate to say, and that's one of our next things, being owners, is Lowell Street is ready for a new griddle on Lowell Street. Yeah. It's still got, the finish is just hanging on.
Yeah.
It's been gone, but it's been there how long? Since 1987.
Yeah. So 20, almost 28
you
years.
You get your money's worth.
That is crazy.
If you divide it into the eggs, it's a mere pittance.
Yeah, it's so true.
Those are the things that make a restaurant.
It is.
You have to, price point, big thing. That's what you and I do. We have a good rapport on that, you know, besides other things. Like, you know, you feel, you know, yeah, that's all right. Just, you know, you don't want to outcharge it. But if you don't charge enough, you can't keep that quality up.
Exactly.
And if you don't have a profit, you're out of business.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't even think a lot of profit. We just need, you know, pay our bills and feel good.
That's right.
Remember what my uncle said, if you can't pay your bills Sunday, you won't be able to pay it the following Sunday.
Exactly.
That's my key.
That's
really my key to a restaurant business. Do yourself a favor. Pay them all Saturday night, Sunday night. Count the money. What's left is yours.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. You're going to work harder next week.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a lot of parameters. That's what makes a good restaurateur.
There you go. You answered that question.
That's a good question. I really delve into that. I see. And the other thing, remember I always said, when I leave at night, I answer myself, did I make it better today?
Did you make it better?
Yes, I did. I feel good.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that was a good question. Okay, listeners, this is the end of Food for Thought. And coming up next is Kale and Company. And tomorrow we'll be hearing from Linda of What's Cooking in Kansas and also Chelsea from right next door here to the Beacon Building, Queen City Cupcakes. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you later.